Truth Not Trends.
Oh, it's got to be bigger than that, man. We're not Truth Not Trends. We're Truth Not Trends.
Boom, baby.
This is Jesse Schmidt and Liam Bauer coming to you from the Truth Not Trends podcast, where we teach you how to maximize your strength as safely and efficiently as possible.
Changing the world one set at a time. Come over and see us at truthnottrends.com.
That's right. Podcast, blog, online training, you name it. We'll teach you how to get amazing results in the gym or at home in minimal amount of time. Head on over and subscribe to the Truth Not Trends podcast. A lot of good stuff.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Booty, 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 booty face. Booty face. Oh yeah, it's still there?
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our fedora. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
And I'm Ari.
And this is Time Pop. And that is Scott Pop.
Doing the guest popping sound effect. Scott is in the house. You're welcome.
Scott Pop, how are you guys?
Oh, man, we're good. We're doing the thing. We're living in this endless loop of life. It's all coming together. I love it.
We got to talk about something because I don't know how much meat is on this this Adjustment Bureau bone is the movie we watched today. We watched The Adjustment Bureau from 2011, rated PG-13, 1 hour and 46 minutes, directed by George Nolfi, starring Matt Damon. Emily Blunt is back. We get another Emily Blunt show. We saw her in Live, Die, Repeat. She was fantastic. So it's great to see her again. And
you guys are going double blunt?
We did. We went double blunt.
You went double blunt, man. That's serious. You should have an all blunt month.
Never smoke from both sides. I think there's a third one, too. I think we talked about that. That I think there's
third blunt?
There's another blunt out there.
I'll bet there's another blunt.
Time travel movie?
Unless it's sequels, people don't double dip in this genre very much.
Unless you're, what's her name? Rachel McAdams.
Oh, yeah.
She was in Time Traveler's Wife and she was in The Closet one.
About Time. And they're both like rom-com time travel. So she owns that.
Nice. About Time. I wrote down a couple for the short list and About Time is on that list.
Time Rom.
Trom travel.
Yeah, she's not like what Charlton Heston is for the apocalypse genre, which is another great tie-in to Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, I love this. Yeah, and About Time, the reason why that's at the top of my short list is because we have a new awesome fan page moderator for All the Answers. And so we were talking about some of my other shows, and she's like, you got to do About Time soon. I said, sounds great. I'm always looking for the words. That's the word. Suggestions.
I think one
Scott
of the directors
and I
from
always
the bureau,
finish each other's sandwiches.
Oh, I think someone from the bureau just came and took words out of your brain to make sure we're on the right track.
So was this movie on your list and you just kind of gave me options and then I chose this one?
Yes.
Okay, so why was this one on your list?
That is a great question, Ari, because I remember going through list. I just looked up, time travel movie lists, and this one showed up, and I was like, I don't think so. And then I saw it on another list, and I was like, maybe? And then I saw it on a third list, and I was like, all right, if the internet's talking about it, then so will we, and trying to dig up those old breadcrumbs that led me down this path, I couldn't do it. I found it on one list on one defunct list that doesn't even, like, most of them kind of explain a little bit, like, why they think it's a great time travel movie and it should be discussed. And this one, this website, like, the pictures have been taken down. There's really no description. It is in between, though, just to prove that this is a real list. Like, it's in between About Time and The Arrival, which I'm still not sure if that's a time travel movie, but like Bill and Ted's is on this list. The Terminator is on this
Arrival
list.
Arrival is more time travel than this is.
Yeah, I am not a fan of The Arrival, and that has more time travel than this movie.
We could go so far as to say this film does not contain time travel. This might be a first for you guys of a one that's not really a time travel film, right? Is there any other film that you have done that's not, doesn't cut the mustard?
No, because this is Time Pop, where we talk about time travel.
We have never, yeah, and this is a list of 21 movies. Of them, I think we've done 15 of the movies on this list. So this person, it wasn't in a full seizure when they wrote this. They apparently knew what they were talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I, you know.
Say it.
Say it.
Cough it up. It's not a goddamn time travel movie.
So here's the first question I have. Is teleportation time travel? I'm just going to get right into it.
No.
I think you're wrong.
Space travel.
I think you're wrong.
You think you're wrong?
Yeah.
They move within space, not within time.
Let me ask you a rebuttal question. Is traveling in an airplane time travel?
Oh, I'm so glad you said that, Ari, because my brain went kind of to the same place.
So what's your answer?
I think it is. In comparison, if you look at the 3 months of your life you would lose traveling to the West Coast on horseback, is airline travel not time travel?
What happens if you kept flying around the Earth, let's say to the left or west, over and over again? What happens? You time travel if the plane doesn't.
You can go fast enough. If you can go fast enough and keep crossing the date timeline. You know what, Scott? We don't know yet because we haven't developed that technology. But so, I mean, teleportation, like to take something that would take minutes, if not hours, possibly days, and do it in seconds.
Yeah, but you are not time traveling. You're just shortening the distance. You're expanding the distance in a shorter amount of time, but time is still flowing consistently with you in it. You're not traveling. You're not skipping ahead. You're not, and you're not jumping backwards.
You're getting somewhere faster than you would, but if Ari teleports from the Eiffel Tower, now let me do a better example. If Ari, from the Empire State Building to Madison Square Garden, it's still 1:05 p.m. either way. Time has not changed.
Yeah, and in an airplane, time...
Space has.
Space, yes.
Time and space.
But not time.
But that's where teleportation, I think, is different.
but if you...
If you teleport to the future, sure.
If you teleport across time zones, you could argue that that's time travel, but they were just teleporting within New York City.
And let's go more into this. We're talking about if you fly, are you time traveling? Theoretically, you're repeating the same hour, but that's not real time. That's like time is a construct like we created it time. The universe, the plants aren't adhering to the hour before or after the time zone difference.
Yeah, because
so
once
we think of time as its own entity.
Because once we go universal, then there will just be, the Earth will be one time zone. It'll just be like, you know what? It's noon on Earth. And on Mars, it's 1 p.m.
Yeah.
That will never happen.
So this film is not, I said to Ari yesterday, this film is not time travel. If this film is about time travel, then the Star Wars films are when someone sees something happening in the future. They see potential futures and timelines. So any film that has a psychic is time travel. Whenever the Emperor in Star Wars says, oh, I foresaw this happening, then you would say, time travel. I say no.
So in my professional opinion, this movie is about time, but not time travel.
Yes. The construct, all the possible outcomes of decisions, which is cool.
And if you can see an out, I guess this is just them, you know, prophesizing again, which we've already discussed isn't time travel. It's like, if you can see what's going to happen in a book, Is your book time traveling?
Wait, what?
So when they look at the book, they can see the different lines they may take. And it's if these traveling. Lines intersect here, but it's seeing,
think of it as like a mathematical calculation. It is from that moment that Ari trips on that banana peel. It is seeing all the possible, like, oh, she falls and someone picks her up and the doctor and they form a relationship and like, where it goes into all the possible avenues from there. But that book is not going to the future. It's kind of, although you're right, it's suggesting that all time has a plan.
No,
but it hasn't happened yet.
No, I think Scott's on the right track here. It's like a mathematical equation. It's the probability, the possibilities, because they never really zoom in on the book, you know, or they do, but they don't explain it. And what it looks like is a lot of little zigzags and like, you know, like the little snake video game where it's just like, and then one of those little snakes is darker than all the other ones. And that's the path that they're on. And if they make a different decision, then they go to that path. So I think it is like a mathematical equation.
It's like a supercomputer that is computing all timelines at the same time. And it sees all the weaving and the interactions and then the possible outcomes and consequences. But it's not goddamn time travel, you bastard.
So it does. Do you think that this does qualify as time travel?
No, it doesn't qualify as time. The story we see does not.
Yeah.
You know, I think, well, and I was just thinking about this before, that even though we don't see them time travel, the Adjustment Bureau is still traveling through time. But if that were true, then they would have never let the Dark Ages happen. Like when they say, like, well, we let you guys on your own and you messed it up. And if that were true, then they would have went
back.
Yeah,
it's one timeline.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a cool concept that they can influence the future. You know, they can make certain things happen and certain people do certain things to dramatically influence the future. But they can't go to the future ahead of time and they can't go to the past to then change the present.
And I just saw, I got the last little bit of the movie playing in the background, and they just showed, you know, the blank pages that they walk out into, that their future is uncertain. So, because for a minute there, I was thinking, well, maybe they are, you know, going to the, because it's sometimes they almost say, like, that's not how it's supposed to happen. Like, they've seen it, but they haven't seen it. They're just trying to nudge everything in the direction they see fit.
Yeah.
And although they can control everything and like they have all this influence, apparently it doesn't work when there's water involved. So that was poor planning on this design. The planet has a lot of water on it.
Water and what was the other thing?
Even rain.
Yeah, like, rain just messes up what they could see. So it's like areas that are like temperate tropical climates, it must just be havoc over there because they can't influence anything. That's why Florida is such a fucked up state.
Well, you're and that welcome. Goes to prove that they're definitely not quote unquote God.
Well, it definitely suggests those religious overtones, doesn't it?
Yeah, it did more often than not. And then there was one thing towards the end, I forget what it was, where they try to make it seem like it was more like aliens. Did you guys get that sense?
No, I didn't. I got more like they even said angels. He's like, yeah, we've been called that. And they're like, oh, the commander in chief changed their mind. And, you know. It seems.
Oh yeah, and then he was like, "You've met the was it the commander?
Yeah, whatever it is,
you've met the commander, him or her. Everybody has at some point in their life. Yeah, it was a little cheesy for my taste.
Did you research, Desmond, that it had an alternate ending?
No.
Yeah, in the original ending, you meet the commander. It is a female, and I guess they took it out. For, I don't know, wanting it to be too literal or, you know.
Did this come out right after Cabin in the Woods? And they were like, oops, too close. And I read something, of course, again, I can't look it up. And I even looked up the book. At one point, I saw something that said the book references more directly time travel. But then in researching the book, I couldn't find any of that to reference time travel either. So
I guess no, because they don't freeze all of time. I was going to say there was one point where they freeze people in like a room.
Oh,
but they're not freezing time. They're freezing those people. Everything else around them still continues forward and time still continues forward, even though they're frozen.
That actually raises a good point. This film, have you seen Dark City?
No.
All right. So this reminds me of Dark City. And in Dark City, I won't get into all of it, but he's on the planet. All the people in this civilization are frozen, and there are other beings who move stuff around. They move people into different roles. Like sometimes your father might be your brother, might be your boss. And then they kind of, and then they start time again. And that would be more time travel than this is. But the most similar movie to this that I've seen.
They change things.
Yeah, they change things.
There's a group of people that change things while everyone's like asleep.
All right, here it is. So they shot the ending scene 4 months after they'd completed it. There was an original ending featuring actress Shore Agdashulu as the chairman. And it was a female form. And then they wanted people to put their own beliefs in the end and not foreclose that. So they want to be open to other people's beliefs. Religion.
Sorry, I'm doing another crossover here because I decided I had to see what Rotten Tomatoes said about this. It got a 71 and a 67.
Mm. Oh, her.
I like her.
What's she from? Is she in anything that I might recognize?
Yeah, she's in what's the sci-fi series? The Expanse.
Is she like Indian? She's got the really raspy voice.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's Iranian-American, it says. She's got very specific voice. Interesting.
Quite a name.
Yeah. This is a weird one for you guys, huh? This is a time-based. It is about the concept of time, also about fate, but not traveling within it.
So I'm going to do just a real quick overview, Ari, if you don't mind.
I do not mind.
I assumed you'd be fine with that. So a politician loses the election because of some unfortunate history that came out about him. He meets Emily Blunt in the bathroom and they hit it off really, really well right before his losing speech. And he gives an amazing speech and everyone loves it. She inspires him to just be truthful. Like, what, she doesn't tell him to be truthful and honest, but he's just awed by her presence and opens up to his constituents and they love it. And then we jump. That's right. He just gets her name. He doesn't get her number or anything. Then they just jump 3 years in the future. He's working at some company and he bumps into Emily Blunt on the bus. They hit it off again. He gets her number. He goes into the office and everyone there is frozen because the Adjustment Bureau has taken it over. He was supposed to be stopped before he met her on the bus. And that the Adjustment Bureau messed that up. And so he sees the Adjustment Bureau in action, freezing all the people around them so they can adjust them according to their plans and make sure that they continue to nudge Matt Damon in the right direction. Now they have to chase Matt Damon down because he's seen them and no one's supposed to see them. They take him through a door into a magical garage and explained it. They just decide to come clean. They're like, look, you weren't supposed to see that. We're the Adjustment Bureau. We're here to keep the world on track. You can't see her. They burn her number, so he can't get in touch with her. So then another few months, a year passes. He bumps into her again. And then this is when it just kind of like, he keeps bumping into her. The Adjustment Bureau keeps telling him, we told you she's off limits. You can't see her. He's in love with her. Back and forth. The Adjustment Bureau then realizes, they're like, why is this guy such a pain in our ass? They realize that a previous plan had Matt Damon and Emily Blunt getting together. And that's why they're having so much trouble, because at one time they were meant to be by plan, so they can't keep them apart. The Adjustment Bureau just keeps, you know, trying to prove to Matt Damon that, like, you can't be, if you're with her, you're not going to be a good politician because she's a loose cannon. If you're with her, she won't become a famous dancer because she'll be too busy following you around politicking. And then one of the guys takes pity on Matt Damon, teaches him how, so the Adjustment Bureau can use these doors in a way to not travel through time, but to travel through space. And when they're wearing their fancy Adjustment Bureau hats, they turn doorknobs a certain direction and they know it. Like, every door goes to a very specific place and they know it because they just do. One guy teaches Matt Damon how to do this so that he can circumvent the Adjustment Bureau in order to be with Emily Blunt. After a big chase ensues, they're trapped at the top of a building. The Adjustment Bureau comes to them and says, you win. You get to be together. Free will rules.
The end.
Yeah. It's like, if you just ignore all the rules that we say are very real and concrete, then everything you want will happen. It's kind of like, it's a very millennial movie in that sense.
It's We've talked about this actually with Scott on the podcast before, that I don't think free will actually exists. So this movie feeds right into my, like, yeah, you can make some decisions, like, you know, you can choose chicken or fish, but
the biggies
are, you're going to be nudged in the right direction.
By who?
The Adjustment Bureau, by God.
Again, mine is that there is free will, but you've always had the free will and you've always made the same decision
over and over.
And oh, you will. Yeah. From the free will, you've had all the same elements that led up to it and have always made the same decision. That's... And since it's all happened. So it's almost not free will, but it is. You've just made that out of your free will, but it's always happened.
Over and over and over again.
So was there ever, in your theory, Scott, was there ever a first time that you chose it? Like, even though you just keep going around. Because that's always my question with loop movies.
No, in that sense, you can't know. It can't be. It doesn't go with the whole theory.
So when you make a bad decision or you do something bad, can you just be like, can't help it. It's what I've always done.
Well, think about why you make bad decisions, though. You make bad decisions because someone pisses you off. You're hungover. If you really think about everything that's happened to you up until that point, yeah, you probably would always make that decision.
Totally. It's all those, if Desmond sees some diet Dr. Pepper sitting there and he's maybe not supposed to drink it, it's his background of his life, of like the comfort it brings him. And then maybe that day, if anyone pissed him off and all those factors and a million different things that makes him say, I'm going to drink that soda. I'm going to get my childhood comfort. And also Fed driver that like cut me off and all those factors to that diet Dr. Pepper. This is sponsored by Dr. Pepper, the choice of a new generation.
Yes. Diet Dr. Pepper, 23 flavors. I mean, if we were all perfectly calm, meditative light beings, then yeah, there would be no excuse for bad choices. But as humans living on this rock that are constantly getting nudged in one direction or another from our upbringing to the butthead that cut you off, like, yeah, bad decisions are going to get made. And, you know, if no one else is changing, so if Scott's right, if no one else is changing their behavior, then you're not going to change your reaction to it.
Yeah.
Bleak.
Like, do you believe in past lives, Ari?
Meaning that you were a human in the past, and when you died, you became into another human? I don't, because that's not mathematically possible, because there's been more people on the planet exponentially. So where are all these extra souls coming from?
They're splitting souls.
Well, if I believe in previous lives, that I believe we're a separate being from a different realm that are just riding this ride. And so there could be infinite beings in that other realm willing to take a ride.
Like Matrix-y? Or not even just kind of hopping
on? No, not Matrix-y. Like, I don't know what I believe. Like, I'm not going to say, like, I'm going to hell with this one.
You're open to these ideas.
There's definitely a possibility, I think, that, and the thing is that when you get on the ride, you don't know where it's going to go. You don't know what kind of life you're going to have. You don't realize what a shit show being in a body actually is and being stuck here through its existence. But if you take the ride often enough, you get better at it. You make less bad decisions. You realize that punching that guy who cut you off is going to lead to you going to jail, which is going to lead to you being forced into more bad decisions and more, you know, and blah, 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 blah. And so I'm saying the ability to make only good decisions could only come through multiple interactions with this physical realm.
Plus, good decision is a matter of perspective.
Yes. Yes. Totally.
What is good?
Go ahead, Ari.
No, I was just trying somehow to tie this back to our movie and tie it back to time travel, and I got nothing.
I'll tie it back into time travel. Have you guys been reading about time crystals?
I've heard of that. Remind me of what that is.
So there's 4 days ago, for the first time ever, Scientists caught time crystals interacting.
Oh, yeah. It's like molecules. It's like atoms. What is it again?
It's I wish I had I could speak on this a little bit more educatedly. But yeah, it's the mostly I think it's the ability for matter to be in two places at once.
Is it quantum entanglement?
I think we're dealing with the same types of things.
Okay. Well, because quantum entanglement is, I guess you could say it's time travel. It's two identical atoms across the universe that turn on at the same time.
Yes.
Was that essentially what it is? The time crystals?
Of course I couldn't find the article that I found. Like the first article I read on this a couple days ago was, it had like the important stuff right up top.
Time crystals, crystals that defy the space and time. I'll just provide the intro music while they search on their phones.
So this is just, I don't know if this will actually explain anything, but this is the paragraph I read that just kind of melted my brain. To wrap your head around time crystals, imagine snowflakes or rubies, crystals that tantalizingly corrupt spatial symmetry. Unlike the perfectly symmetrical empty space, there are spots on these spatial crystals that look different than other spots, such as their edges. In much of the same way, then, a time crystal breaks the symmetry of time. Their atoms love being in different points in space at different points in time, shifting directions as if a pulsating force flipped them.
Yeah, it's quantum entanglement. So, okay. Yeah, it's quantum entanglement. You said that they were able to view it? Because I know they were doing experiments with the big telescopes on either end of the globe, and they were doing experiments with that and like light shining from a star, and they needed just the perfect atmosphere and the perfect weather to do it, and they were having trouble. But were they successful?
They were able to see it, yeah.
Cool. So,
or they caught them. I don't know if see or caught is the same thing.
Yeah. So how would you explain this in layman's terms? It's like two identical atoms in two opposite ends of the universe reacting to each other at the same time.
Yes.
So and it's like, it's almost like turning on a light bulb on one end of the universe automatically turns it on the other end. You know, how does it do that? How are they connected across vast distances? So,
and if we can figure out what that connection is, but now this actually turns in perfectly. Isn't that more teleportation than time travel? If two things are occurring at the same time in two different, if Captain Kirk is half here and half there at the same time.
Are you saying across the span of like the full universe? Because then that is time travel if it's that much space, because that's a lot of time.
Yeah, I think because it's such a long distance that it might cross over into time travel because the amount of time it would take you to travel that. So basically they're saying that this force or this ability travels faster than light, which is time travel. So if something can go faster than the speed of light, you're dealing with time travel. So this reaction is faster than the speed of light. So yes, I would say that this is now dealing with time travel.
So if you...
Not the film.
No, not the film. The quantum entanglement. Time
trying crystals. To connect it to teleportation.
Oh.
So if you could instantly go from here to Moscow, that's faster than light. I mean, light can't get to Moscow. I mean, it takes... I mean, not to mention the curvature of the Earth, but let's just forget about that. Let's go with the flat Earth theory for a second.
Yeah, but it's because of the distance that you're traveling to. And let me please put this like disclaimer for myself. Ari is in no shape or form a scientist of anything. I just like reading about science and like it's fascinating to me. So I could be completely wrong about this. But my guess would be because the distance is so short, it doesn't step into the realm of time travel. But you are right, Desmond. This might just be teleportation. Even the quantum entanglement is just one spot to another spot in space, but it's just, you know, not time.
But yeah, if you go across the vast vast amount of space, then that is time travel because of the way of light years and gravity and how that affects. So that if you're going that distance across the universe, then that would be time travel. But if you're teleporting within two buildings in New York City, that is not time travel.
Now, if you could teleport, so it's been proven that if one twin goes to space 10 times and the other twin never goes, that twin that went to space is officially younger.
Right.
That's than his twin on Earth. So if you just teleported back and forth for 10 years, you're traveling light speed. Do you age less?
If you teleport far away and stay there for a certain amount of time and then teleport back, I think that, yes, you would be younger.
It would change our concept of, yes, of that space in time, that mass in time as we know it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But only that distance. And that's where the fun part, where space and time meet.
Yeah. Right? So it's space time, right? Space-time. There's space time and then there's space time. So
normally they're two different things, but then it can become
the same thing. So because with this movie, so bringing it back to the movie, because it's just space and it's a very little space, it doesn't really affect the time. So because nowhere in the movie did they go through a door and it all of a sudden was nighttime. They didn't go through a door and all of a sudden it was like a different season, I think. Am I right?
Yeah, no, they're doing it faster than they would than a person normally, but it doesn't change the status of time. Then somebody who runs track is running faster than someone who's walking. I mean, if the Flash is running faster, he's experiencing faster, but time in the state of the world is still the time.
Yeah, something as simple as, because when they open the doors, nothing materializes or dematerializes. They just walk through. Yeah. But had they in some way teleported through those doors, then maybe all of that travel would have an effect on them. If you're doing all of that, even if you're just going across town, if you're traveling faster than the speed of light that many times, if you're going through hundreds and hundreds of doors while you're chasing people around, and that's all you do every day, all the time, then... Because they do say that these people live for a long time, right?
Yeah, I was going to say they're like a lot older. They age slower is what they said, right?
So if they're constantly traveling through these doors, even at short, because there's got to be some doors that do travel long distances. I'm just going to throw that out there as a guess. You know, this movie is contained in New York.
Yeah, that raises a good point. Are these same people that we know going to the other countries and cities also? Or is there just an adjustment bureau in literally every city? Is there one in Little Rock? Is it one into whatever tiny town is outside Little Rock? Is this the New York bureau?
I think there's one bureau, but I do think there are a fart ton of agents, because the fact that these agents aren't super busy always running around nudging people, the fact that this guy's only job is to deal with Matt Damon, like he doesn't seem to have any other cases. Right. So
just that one guy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of the movie felt like a political film and also rom-com, whatever, but you know, the door thing is what made it cool. And that the final chase scene through the doors was great. That was unique about the film for sure.
And what was the left turn?
They said that was just for them. He's like, don't do that. That's just for us agents. And so he assumed that was going to see the head honcho. And he made it to whatever plane of existence had their headquarters.
That's right. That took him to headquarters.
Now, that could bring up the potential idea that that could be time travel. So let's say that you go into their headquarters, right? You go into their space. Where are they?
An alternate plane.
An alternate universe, an alternate plane. Mm-hmm. But does time still continue normally outside of that place for everyone else?
If they stayed there for an hour and they would come back to the same time they left, or would it be an hour later?
Or 2 hours later.
Or 5 years.
Because if they age so slowly, then I would think time in their realm would move slower or faster.
I always think back to Interstellar and the massive black hole aging scene, you know, where they go closer to the black hole and they age slower.
Mm-hmm.
And that's scientifically correct. And so if you think about if they travel to an alternate plane that is further away, they age faster or slower?
Slower. I think astronauts age slower than us here on Earth because you're farther away from. But why would a black hole that's nothing but gravity? Oh yeah. No, it does move faster. That's right. It does move faster near a black hole. So it's right. It all has to do with gravity. The more gravity there is, the faster time.
Yeah, and gravity is bending space and time. So
and space time, or just space and time?
Space time.
Hey Ari, I just want you to know whatever you're reading, bring that up anytime on the show. don't hesitate.
Oh, but it's such a broad, it's never just about space and time travel. It's such a broad thing. But yeah, sure, I'll bring it up, whatever my latest kick is that I'm reading.
Hell yeah.
FaceTime.
Because if we're going to talk about the Adjustment Bureau, then we can talk about other science-y, nerdy shit. Thank you for listening to Time Pop, brought to you by Sounds Awesome. Please like and subscribe and tell a neighbor or friend about it so you can share a discussion of your own on the topic of this movie. Please check us out on social media. We are at What Sounds Awesome on Facebook and Instagram and at Sounds Awesome 2 on Twitter. You can email us directly with questions and comments at wesoundawesome@gmail.com. We would love to read your thoughts aloud on air and definitely let us know about a movie you would like featured on a future episode. We have great movie podcasts, Apocalypse Now, where Scott, Callum, and Dez talk about apocalypse-ish movies. Movies about society going through a difficult situation, not unlike the one we are currently living through. Want to check out some non-movie related podcasts? Check out All the Answers. You have questions? The Record Keepers have answers? Cassidy and Katie have sassy comments? Who are the Record Keepers? You'll have to listen to find out. And our newest addition to the Sounds Awesome family, Truth Not Trends. Liam Bauer and Jesse Schmidt have a combined 35 years of strength training, and they are here to keep you strong, fit, and motivated through these difficult times. Please visit our website at whatsoundsawesome.com to find all these fine podcasts, or just search Sounds Awesome in your podcaster of choice to find these fine shows. Please rate and review. And now, back to the exciting conclusion of this episode. So now, would this be cool? Would you want a fedora?
I totally want one of those hats. I look amazing in fedoras, you guys.
I've been known to rock a fedora in my day. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, and I tilt it a little bit to the side. You know, when I go to Gorin Brothers, they don't usually offer the hats that open doors to other portals, but I would pay an extra $40 for that, I think.
Yeah.
A portal opening hat. It was really cool. I respect it.
So, but here's the real question. Would you want to have access to that book?
Oh,
you'd have to be trained on how to read that. That's not, you got to be a trained individual.
Does each individual have a book?
Each agent, yeah.
No. But for human. The person, like, does each book, can a person just be like, I need to see what his future is. I need to see what her future is. Or do they just have Matt Damon's book?
I thought of it more of like a computer. So everyone has their own book, but within that book, they could like look up any person they wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Probably a touch screen.
If Men in Black can do 4 films, I mean, these guys could have done a prequel of Adjustment Bureau or other cases. It could be a whole thing.
This would be a good show.
Yeah, this would be better as a show.
This would be a great show.
It'd be better than Quantum Leap.
I don't think I would want a book. I would not want a book.
It doesn't tell you definitely what's going to happen. It just tells you from that moment what the projected outcomes are. Apparently they're wrong sometimes.
That's why I don't want it.
But what if you were able to get a book and you were to say, okay, my end goal is this, Mr. Book thing, Mr. and Mrs. Book thing.
Oh.
And then your book could tell you, okay, if you want to do that, if that's your end goal, you have to do these things. And all you have to do is follow the map.
I talk to this person and make sure you go to this place on this day.
Avoid that thing or that person.
But it's not Dr. Pepper. Far ahead. It's not, I don't think it's months and weeks. God damn it, I want Dr. Pepper so bad.
No, it's like your whole life.
But that's...
That's dangerous. You could blame people. You'd be like, I got that job because of that kid that tripped me that day.
Exactly. Like, and especially the books seem to only show a little ways ahead. So you just constantly be running from one block to another, hoping that someone did or didn't spill coffee on you or, you know, bus driver did take off and you were supposed to be on that bus, you could meet your one true love.
But they said it was just major things. It was like major moments in life, like meeting somebody or getting a job. So it wouldn't be every day. It would be like the book would be like, in 3 months, you have to meet this person at this party.
But it's still small things, right? Like spilling coffee changed his whole
I don't think it works that way. I don't think you can see that far ahead in the book. I think the book is a, like, I only saw, whenever they would look at the book, it would be within like 5 or 10 minutes of them traversing.
No, he was talking about this guy's whole life. He was supposed to become the president of the United States and then make a huge difference. He was very important.
But the book just showed your next move you needed to do to accomplish that goal.
Yeah, they, like a computer, they focused in on that moment that they needed to. So. Right.
So if you just like opened your book, like you were going to the bus stop and you opened your book and all of a sudden it was like, no, you were supposed to get a, like, well, because I think the
brain short circuit.
Yeah. Well, cause the book I think is not perfect either because of the free will that other people have. So like, you know, if you're supposed to buy a bagel from this certain barista, but what if she decided to get drunk the night before and not come to work? Right. And now some other asshole ruins your love bagel.
Well, that's why the Bureau was able to find other ways to accomplish their goal, right? So their end goal was for him to become president, but then things kept messing up. He kept meeting that woman, but they kept trying to, okay, pull them apart, have this happen. So that's the, I guess you could say, the great thing about the book or the equation or the chancellor or whatever it was called, that they are able to then rework the equation and still end up with their end goal or answer.
Yeah. But again, that would be fast. And it'd be like, that lady wasn't there for my bagel. So then you'd look down at your book and it's like, well, you better not catch the 812 bus. You better catch the 809 bus so you can correct this mistake. And then you run into the bus and then you miss the 809 bus. And it's like, all right, there's one taxi left in this whole city. That's
So you're saying you would not want to have this ability that the book provides?
If it works the way that I think the book works, I do not want it. If it works the way you look at it and you can like plan out your next 3 months and you're just like, I got a week to take care of that, I'm cool, then yes. But I think it works a little more close to home and like it's constantly computing and it's constantly re-jiggering for everyone else's free
will.
Yeah,
it'd be too much for your neurotic brain or even probably ours. You'd get too affected by it and you'd be constantly looking at it. Like we look at the air quality now, but even worse.
Yeah.
Every decision you make, you'd be like, oh, I'm going to go left. No, I'm going to go right. I'm not going out. I'm going to have a cup of water. No, I'm going to have coffee. I'm just going to see every possible change. We make so many decisions constantly, every moment of every day, of how much pressure and which way to walk and what time to drink and what angle. I mean, it'd be overwhelming.
Like already right now, I'm like, oh, cool. I'll clean the house on Wednesday. And then Cormac's sick on Wednesday. And I'm like,
the universe doesn't work.
He just messed up my house clean. And that's just the dumbest thing ever. If you had like serious lifetime outcomes.
It was interesting that he took this idea that like he became a politician because he had that hunger and needed all that attention. Then when he's in the relationship, they're like, you kind of don't need it anymore. You're satisfied. And then you don't become a politician. They're pretty much saying by them falling in love, it like ruins their aspirations. And then you ask, well, what is the bigger happiness, love? Or is it the like doing something in the world?
Yeah. And so that's where the adjustment. And that's where the Adjustment Bureau was playing God. Cause like, we need you to be president.
Yeah.
Like
not for you, might be happy.
You might be. Yeah, exactly.
What dicks.
Jerks. Yeah. And we've just real quick, one thing I missed in my synopsis, just to show you what, like, basically the Adjustment Bureau killed his father and his brother to give him the sadness and the hunger he needed to become a politician. So.
Right. But it was for the good of humanity.
He must have been a really good president.
God, no kidding. All right. Well, we will continue this greater conversation on another podcast, but I think this just about wraps it up for the Adjustment Bureau.
Which podcast? All the answers?
What's that?
All the answers?
No way. This one. We're coming back to this one. We're answering big questions on all the shows now. We're answering Apocalypse Now is how we're going to survive in the end times. All the answers is giving you the book to read so you know when the end times are coming. And this one is going to teach you how to teleport off this friggin' rock when it hits the fan.
I want to see your Love Bagel movie.
Oh.
I think the world's ready for Desmond and the Love Bagel.
Love Bagel.
He was trying to say you get a certain bagel. And he was the Love Bagel.
Oh, from the barista.
All right, Ari. Which one of these movies are we watching?
What about the Palm Springs one?
Oh, right. Totally. Thank you so much for remembering that. Yes, Palm Springs.
It's probably more current, yeah.
It doesn't get any more current than that. So we are going to be watching the Hulu original. Is it a Hulu original or is it just on Hulu?
Hulu original,
Palm Springs, starring Andy Sandberg, correct?
Yes. Yeah. And the girl that was in that 30 Rock episode.
Oh, Kristen Milioti? Starring Andy Sandberg, Kristen Milioti, J.K. Simmons, Peter Gallagher.
Kristen Milioti.
She was the one who wore the blonde wig and she was like, I'm a sexy baby.
Oh, her.
And she was doing that because her ex-boyfriend was trying to stalk her.
Yes. Oh, so great. Hot off the press. I'm super excited. I don't know. I did watch a trailer for it. Mostly because I, even as I pressed play on the trailer, I thought it was a show, not a movie.
Yeah, it looks like it.
My favorite stat for this movie, Scott will concur, 1 hour and 30 minutes.
Is it on the dot?
On the dot, baby.
Oh my God. Not even 129. It's not 131. It's a sweet 130.
90 minutes.
Oh, just, what a gem.
Just the way God intended.
Which God?
The fedora wearing God. All right. Next time we will be talking about Palm Springs. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm R.E.L. Gla. And this is, of course,
Scott Lifton. Thanks for having me, folks.
I'm going to start calling you that, kind of like R2-D2. I'm going to start calling you R.E.L.
R.E.L.
R.E.L. 72.
R.E.L. has feelings, too.
R.E.L. likes quinoa.
What do we say at the end of the episode, Ari?
Oh, yeah. Bye. Wait, that wasn't right. Let me do it again. This is Desmond McNeese. This is R.E.L. Gala. We'll see you next time. Bye. No, that doesn't sound right either.
No.
Was it? What? How do I usually do it?
I think the first one was closer.
Bye. Bye. No. Bye. Bye.
Why don't you guys run through it again, and then maybe it'll be a natural rhythm.
It's been so long. I feel like we haven't done this in like 3 months.
Yeah, start it off.
It's been a good month.
Do it without me putting my thing in. You'll get your rhythm.
Until next time, I am Desmond McNeese.
No, I'm overthinking it now.
This is time travel. It's like you're doing the same thing over and over.
I'm Ariel Gala. Bye.
There you go.
Yay.
Wow.
So yeah, so you guys should all out there check out the podcast All the Answers if you want to know what the hell we're talking about. Great.
What a
podcast.
Great cross promo we just did.
I know.
And it also, if the world does come to an end, it'll tie into your other podcast entitled Apocalypse Now.
Yes.
Oh, it's all coming together.
And if you want to get in shape to take on the zombies and fight for your food, listen to Truth Not Trends. All from Sounds Awesome.
I really hope you edit this part out.
That was a Sounds Awesome production.